السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. 3 minutes after 11. It's a definitely a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. Rise and shine. The sun is out. Our beloved Haji Suleiman, mashallah, our receptionist, he's listening to the program and he says, Maulana, it's rise and shine. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday warm morning. I know this morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah, it was actually about 2.5, and it was a bit cold. Yeah. But of course, as we all know, whatever happens, happens through the Qudrat and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should always make shukr. Always make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's cold, you make shukr. Whether it's warm, we make shukr. Whether it's raining, we make shukr. Whether it's windy, we make shukr. Yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And I want to welcome, of course, the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company, early this Tuesday morning. It's 4 minutes after 11. It's definitely a nice Tuesday morning, the 11th of August, 2020. 2020. Yes, my name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and my beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah, who's looking mashallah on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Let's welcome our engineer, brother Bonface. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132, international overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad early this Tuesday morning. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technician, brother Yusuf Asmal, day in Springs, and our brother Yet Bonface. Thank you very much.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, Mufti Saab, we have everything, alhamdulillah, but my husband always acts like a victim and like he doesn't get meals, so everyone can see me in a bad light and feel sorry for him, Ustad. What do I do, anonymous sister?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, we answer the queries and questions as they are posed to us. So if Allah Jalla wa Ala has granted you everything that a person can desire, and you are giving meals, everything to your husband, but he wants to play the sympathy card and create himself and project himself like a pauper and a beggar. So that is nashukri, ungratefulness, unthankfulness. And when a person does that, Almighty Allah has a very stern warning for him. La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful, thankful, I will increase my bounties and favors upon you. Wala in kafartum. And if you are ungrateful, ya kafartum is from the word kufran, which means if you are ungrateful, unthankful, inna azabi la shadid, then my punishment also is very, very severe. So the bounties which Almighty Allah is showering upon us and upon you, then Almighty Allah will snatch away those bounties because of the ingratitude. Therefore, every Muslim should be reading the following dua. Should be reading the following supplication. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection. And Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik, that you snatch away your bounties which are showering and recurring upon us. The hadith is authentic, mentioned in Sunan Nasai. Next point here, remember remember, you should remind your husband that the way he's behaving and getting on, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Then why should Almighty Allah Jalla Wala punish you if you are being grateful and you got Iman? So the gratitude of ours should increase and enhance our Iman as well. And this is mentioned in Surah 4, Chapter 4, and verse number 147. So shukr and Iman. So tell your husband that he must be grateful and not behave like a pauper and a beggar.
Somebody says, Ustad, I have 4 children, ages between 4 years and 9 years old. I have observed my wife, she finds it difficult to look after the children and the household, Ustad. Will contraception be permissible in this situation? Anonymous, Ustad?
Remember, what you needed to do is that she is not the only one responsible there to look after the children and so forth. You should be also helping her. Yes, daytime you're going to your shop, going to the job and so forth. But night times you can also play your role and your part and so forth. Instead of just leaving it there to your wife or watching television or going to meetings and meeting your friends and so forth. So therefore, always remember that marriage is a partnership between a husband and wife, how we share the moments of joy and happiness. So likewise, we need to share the responsibilities. When we say that you, the husband, you are the Amir, you are the captain, you are the head of the family, and 100% that is correct. But what is the meaning of Amir? Amir means you have added responsibilities. So you have to care for the children, you have to care for the wife, you have to care for everybody. So that is what is meant here. So my advice to you, my brother, that contraceptive and all that, that is not permissible in normal circumstances. Yes, if the wife, remember, gave birth to the 3-4 children through the C-section, cesarean section and so forth, and now it is very, very dangerous for her to have more births and so forth, then to use a reversible method will be permissible. But that's not the rule. That is the exception to the rule. The rule is it is not permissible. So what you need to do is that you need to ensure that maybe you employ some lady who can help your wife and so forth, but you must make sure that during those hours you are not there. For example, you go to shop and job and all that 8 o'clock and come back 5 o'clock. So during the daytime, the lady can come help your wife and so forth and so on. And in that way, there is the burden for her. So there are many ways of solving the problem, but that is if you really wish to solve it, either you help her or employ the lady to assist your wife, and that will cost you that you have to pay that lady her wages and so forth. So there are many, many ways, inshallah, and in that way, you must work with one another, help one another out, inshallah.
Ustad, my in-laws are always unfair in family matters. They encourage the wrongdoers, whilst anybody can see that they are unfair. My problem is, Mufti Sahab, that I don't want to be part of the thinking because Allah is watching me and I'm answerable for myself. So I distance from them. I tried very hard over the years to remind them what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to follow. Ustad,
in a case like that where you see blatant favoritism, then what you need to do, that they are not prepared to change. They will still continue in their own thinking and their own way. So you do not sever ties with them, but you curtail the ties with them. Why should you get involved in arguments with them? Then your marriage will also be turned negative. Then it will have a negative impact upon your children and so forth. So fine, you must remember when you see they are not prepared to reason, then do not sever ties, but make sure you cement your ties with your husband. You win your husband over to your side. You win your children over to your side. And if they ask you, then you must explain to them. And if the children are understanding, then you just tell them that, see, there are certain issues that Islam does not allow, and you don't want to be an accomplice in that crime. You don't have to go into so many details and so forth and so on. And then they will understand. So main thing is between you and your husband, يريد ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين أو beloved Allah grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. And it doesn't mean whilst you are curtailing yourself from your in-laws then you don't make dua for them. Read the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful 99 names of Allah daily, and in that you read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Allah, soften their hearts, Ya Allah, let them see what is the truth and justice, and in that way, Ya Allah, that you are the one who create the love, let there be harmony and love. You will see if we are sincere in our du'as for a person, for a family, Almighty Allah changes the situation rapidly, and things become from a negative to a positive, and things will change for the better, inshallah.
So who is responsible, Ustad, to look after an unmarried sister who is working, whose father passed away, and to what extent? Randberg, Ustad.
Remember, in a case like that, you, the brothers, you are responsible for her. Nowhere in Islam is it said that now if the father passes away, then she, the daughters, must go and work, and then they can be harassed, they can be intimidated, and so many people can exploit the situation. So she should stay at home and do work from home. And today you see online how many things are going on. Big companies are telling their employees to stay at home, and then they are working from home. So she could do so many things from home, and in that way protect her honor, dignity, and she can read the 5 times salat on time. She doesn't have to worry about a certain dress code and so forth. So all this, she's compromising herself and trampling upon the Sharia in the interim and in the process. So she should stay at home, and you, the brothers, you are responsible for her expenses. Al-hunmu bil-hurmi. This is the principle of Islam. If she has to pass away, who will inherit from her wealth and her assets? You, the brothers, because she's not married. So there's no question of husband and children, and we don't know if the mother is alive or not.
No brothers,
Ustaz. So you must remember, if there's no brothers, then we go to the nephews. So you must remember, then they will be responsible, or the uncles will be responsible. So remember that the people, the men who are going to inherit from her, they will be held responsible. So in a case like that, what you need to do is ensure that how you will inherit from her while she's alive, that you should be spending on her. And the more you spend on her for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah, see how much Allah will assist you. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكُمْ تُنْصَرُونَ ترزقون بدعفائكم. Allah will assist you. Allah will give you barakah and risk because you are empowering and assisting the weak and the people who don't have that means to for income. So you are helping them, the weak and the people who are frail in society. So the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad and so forth. So that is what Islam will say in such a situation. And if we go even further, there's no one really to look after her, then she should take zakat. Remember, that is why we have zakat and so forth. For her to take zakat, if she doesn't have any money, if she doesn't have income, doesn't have, jewelry and so forth, that's 100% halal for her compared to her going and working here and there and so forth, which definitely is not permissible, and her income also is tainted and polluted.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I love your answer, Ustad. Mufti Sahab, I am from Mozambique. Could you please provide references from the Quran Sharif and Hadith on whether circumcision of women is compulsory in Islam or not? I have heard that it can be harmful, Mufti Sahab, and dangerous for women, and can even cause death if not done correctly. Please advise me. Mozambique, Ustad.
Jazakallahu khairan to our sister there from Mozambique. You know the history of Mozambique, Musa bin Biq. So all these areas, if you study the history, you will find many of them were conquered by the Muslims, but the way the names have been distorted, that people don't know. If you say Mozambique, you won't even think. But when you go to the history, Musa bin Biq, it was conquered by the Muslims. 1. 2, you must remember that regarding female circumcision, is it part of Islam or not? Yes, it's part of Islam. And remember that mutilation of the female genitals and all that, that is haram, obviously. So mutilation is haram. And remember Imam Shafi and them, they mentioned that this is highly, highly recommended, Sunnah Muakkadah, and even more and so forth. So therefore, the Shafi'i places where the Shafi'is are, till today you will find that this continues. According to the Hanafis, it's not compulsory or, you know, highly encouraged and so forth and so on. So therefore, the Hanafi women, if you speak about this, they get very, very surprised and astonished. What you're talking about circumcision for females, khitanul banat, that's a masla, you must remember in Arabic, to make khitan and circumcision for the daughters and the lady. So remember, yes, it is part of Sharia, and if you open Abu Dawood, you will find the hadith there. And there also you will find that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you should not be making that mutilation. Mutilation is not permissible. Now if somebody asks, okay, you say it is part of Islam, then what is the rationale? What is the wisdom? So one wisdom is this easy. It is that mob, you know, enjoyment for the husband as well as for her after she gets married and so forth and so more, so forth. So therefore, Islam has allowed it, and in some cases highly, highly recommended, like according to the Shafi'i scholars and so forth. So therefore, everything must be kept in its proper perspective. So within the boundaries of Sharia, highly recommended. But what is happening in Africa or other countries where mutilation takes place, and then the lady, some of them die, or the daughters die, all that is the following tradition and custom and not Islam. So that is haram and not permissible.
Allahu Akbar. The sister says from Mozambique, Mufti Sahib, please make dua that the borders open. My son is stuck there in South Africa. We truly missing him, Mufti Sahib.
MashaAllah, I was right there by the Mozambique border this weekend, yeah? And I came right till Komatipur, from there to the border, remember, just 5 kilos. So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it such, you must read, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. Ya Allah, you open all the borders, and Ya Allah, remove all the impediments and obstacles. Inshallah, Almighty Allah will listen to our du'as and answer our prayers as well. Our Mona Arafat is in the same predicament. Allah make easy for him, for his wife, for his baby. So imagine 6 months now, Maulana.
Three and a half months.
3.5 months now, mashallah. They had the baby, but the wife went before that for 4 or 5 months now. So she is in Botswana, and Maulana is here, the baby is there. So all these problems, so always go into sajda and read Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. Don't just make Ya Fattahu, no. Dil se, idha sa'altumullah, wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. When you beg, you petition, you supplicate Allah, you yourself must have firm conviction, my Rahim, my Kareem, my beloved Allah is surely going to answer my dua and supplication. So you as a mother, and you son, beta, you also read, and inshallah Allah will make means where you mother and son can meet, and inshallah the obstacles are removed.
I see Brother Umar is passing salams to you, Mufti Sahib. He says you were there, I think, in Ridgeway. Yeah, I think it was, you went to the masjid there, Mufti Sahib, on the day of Eid. So he says, yeah, if a female earns a salary, he wants to know, Brother Umar, is she obliged to contribute to the household running? We'll start.
Okay, three issues here. The day of Eid, I was not in Ridgeway. I was in Crosby, next to Mayfair. So maybe Brother Umar met me there, because I was there for Eid also, Jummah. And I was there for Jummah also. So maybe there, Barakallahu Fik. And if we didn't make dua for you, whoever I met that day, I was making dua for them. We said, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. May Almighty Allah accept from us, and may Allah accept from you. So much Allah, that we made the Eid on the Friday, and then we had Jummah also there, so we maybe met there, Barakallahu Fik. Now, what was the question that Brother Umar
was... If a female earns a salary, right, is she obliged to contribute to the household running, Ustaz?
Right, so now our Brother Umar is asking the question, now the lady is working. Now we need to understand what Islam is teaching, and and what we are doing or what we are anticipating. Islam says the day the baby is born, and that baby is a baby girl. So all the expenses of that daughter will be borne out by the father. It is his responsibility from the day of the birth right till the day she gets married. So she'll be receiving medication, food, clothing, education. Everything will be the responsibility, and the onus and responsibility will be upon the father. The day she gets married, remember, till her death, then all the responsibility goes to her husband. Alhamdulillah. So all the responsibility will go to her husband. So it shows that from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave, the lady in an ideal situation will be receiving all the time. She does not have to spend on her husband. She does not have to spend on her children. She does not have to spend on her parents. Yes, out of her own goodwill, her own generous gesture, that Eid came, some occasion came, and she spent on the parents or her siblings, or she spent on her husband or on her children. So that is a prerogative, but it is not imposed upon her. So let's say this lady is working from home, and now she's earning 10,000, 5,000, 20,000, whatever the amount might be. And you know, maybe she's a female doctor or what have you, and from home, mashallah, the females are coming to her and so forth. So in a case like that, you, the husband, cannot tell her, oh darling, oh poppy, that now you must pay the rental, you must pay the water lights, you must pay, you understand, for the petrol of the car, or you must pay for the groceries. No, in Islam, that's not permissible. It is her money, and you cannot impose upon her. It is your duty to support her and maintain her. It is not her duty, even though she's a millionaireess, that she comes from a big company, you know, where they are making gold, you know, and this type of things here. So may yet. So anyway, you must remember in a case like that, so that she can, it cannot be imposed upon her by anybody, that now she must spend on the husband, on the children, on the house. No, Islam does not allow that.
Brother Umar says, but Mufti Sahib, she is an accountant. Isn't Islam says what's mine is hers, what's hers is mine? Brother Umar Ustad.
No, that's where you are wrong, Brother Umar. That remember that what was your intention when you married her? Did you marry her for her piety, or did you marry her for her bank balance? That if you married her for her bank balance, then you will think like that, that what is yours is hers also, and what is hers is yours. That is not Islam. That is a non-Muslim Western mentality when they want to take from the woman and so forth. So that is wrong thinking. Remember that whatever is hers only, and you got no share in it, and you cannot impose upon her. People today, Brother Umar and others, they get married community of property, and then they say that we are partners in the assets and in the liabilities. So remember, therefore Islam does not allow it. For a Muslim couple to get married COP, community of property, is not permissible. Therefore, we always advise you that when you register your marriage, then you register ANC. Nothing to do with a political party. ANC means the anti-nuptial contract without, excluding the accrual system, which means what is the husband's is the husband's, what is the wife is the wife's, and you, the husband, cannot impose upon her that she must spend on you or the children and so forth.
See, Brother Umar says, please forgive me, Mufti Sahib, I did not know. I will have to speak to my wife now, Mufti Sahib.
No problem. We all are learning every day. There's nothing to forgive, my Brother Umar. Forgiven is forgiven, but what I'm trying to tell you, therefore we have these type of programs, so we must learn the true Islamic teachings, and then when we teach others, we can teach them as well.
I see Mrs. Adrian says, this is the very first time that she's listening. I'm hearing that circumcision is part of Islam for we sisters there. Mrs. Adrian, she says the first time she's listening this. Ustad.
You must remember there are many things, my sister, Mrs. Adrian, because obviously you are not in a Muslim household, so you will hear about it. And if you take South Africa, it's a topic that very few women will really discuss or speak about. But now we are intercontinental, we are international and so forth. People contact us from Australia and New Zealand and from Dubai and here and there, different countries, different continents and so forth. So therefore, you must remember, Islam allowed it with conditions. But what is happening in certain parts of the world where there is that mutilation of the ladies when they go for the circumcision, so that Islam says is haram, unlawful. Let me draw an analogy and give you an example. My sister, Mrs. Adrian, in our beloved country, you know Ellen Payton, that much you know. So Ellen Payton wrote that book, Cry My Beloved Country. And really, today what's happening was in a country we have to cry, you know, and how the country is being destroyed and what have you. Anyway, so now you know in certain places, Eastern Cape or wherever else. So, but you see, now they have a season and they take the men there. They take the young men, and then they circumcise them. And every year, a certain amount of people, men, they die. So what will we say, Mrs. Adrian? Is circumcision not permissible for men, for boys, for young boys? Will you say that? No. In Islam today, what we encourage, my sisters, my daughters, my family women, I tell them, and I know it happened now recently, somebody quite close to us, mashallah, she gave birth to a baby boy, and remember we told her that during the birth, when you just give birth, then in the right ear you give azan, in the left ear you give iqama. Azan is the call to prayer that you hear there in Durban, and so forth, so wherever you are, and you give iqama, is also similar to that. Then you do tahniq, you take the dates, you chew it, insert it into the baby's mouth, and that is the first thing that will enter into his mouth. Then on the seventh day, today is Tuesday, the seventh day will be next week Monday, so then we have two goats or two sheep we slaughter, sacrifice for the baby boy, or one goat or one sheep for the baby girl. We officially name the baby, we give out charity, we shave the hair, and we then apply saffron and mix it with waters, our so that is the sunnah, that on the seventh day. And we encourage them, you can do the khitan, you can do the circumcision also that time. How for the baby girl that, you know, they pierce the ear. So you must remember that also could be done on the seventh day. So similarly, for the boy, you do this. So we encourage this type of thing, sister, Mrs. Adrian. But sometimes when people go beyond the limits, or you go to a quack instead of going to a proper qualified doctor who's got experience in this, so remember the person dies. As you see in South Africa, many, many instances. So remember, you will not say that there's a problem with Islam. You will say the problem is that with the family or with the quack that who undertook this operation and he performed this operation. So that is where the fault lies, not with Islam. So yes, it is part of Islam. Then you have difference of opinion among the jurors, how recommended or permissible it is, and so forth and so on.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Mrs. Adrian is quite learning quite a lot. She says learning on Merkaz Sahaba. Ustad, let's go to the next one. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, Mufti Saab, I need some help from Mufti Saab. I am a student of Deen. I qualified in Azadwal Mufti Saab. I am in Niqab. I am in Hijab. I am having some trouble in my marriage. In the time period of just 6 months, I have been sitting in my parents' house for the second time, Mufti Saab. We are not sure, nor can I personally decide what to do, if it would be better to separate or to try and love again, despite how my in-laws are treating me. Anonymous Ustad, student of Deen.
May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala remove and alleviate all your problems and so forth. I don't know you. I don't know where you are married and so forth. And in these cases, it is better that you don't mention, you know, the names and so forth from where you are and so forth. Be that as it may, now you are a newly wedded person, meaning 6 months. And then you are twice already back home. Now let us see what the problems are, or could be, you know, just generally I speak, based on our experiences. Number one, when that family and that boy came to see you, Did you say that you want to live separate or not? Today we have to be realistic about these issues. So therefore, I make it very clear. I have nieces, I have nephews, and now they have children and so forth. And then they'll tell me, Gal Achanji, Gal Acheti. So this is Mehman now, which very few, maybe of you didn't understand or they understood. And that is now somebody's interested in our daughter, somebody's interested in our sister, and so forth and so on. So now you better be there, like you see. So I go and help them out and say, so what question? So ask this question. Okay, that if we give you our daughter, our sister, or whatever you, where will you live, you know? So if you are living with your in-laws, then you must tell them it is your Islamic right to have your own independent home. So then there won't be all that civil war going on between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law and bad blood, which already seems has occurred between you and them because you say about your in-laws and so forth. So that is one way of solving the problem. Second one is this. You, my sister, you need to take a good look at yourself. I don't say, and I don't paint everybody with the same brush, but we have to be realistic. Therefore, I'm very candid and very honest about this. When girls and ladies come on and they write to me, you know, WhatsApp or they email, and they say, I'm Alima, I'm this. I first thing tell them, rather say I'm a student. This business of Alima, sometimes, I don't say all the time, sometimes make our horn grows too big, you know. So now you're looking down upon your husband, you're looking down upon your mother-in-law, father-in-law. Yeah, they are people who are not Alim, they don't know Quran, they don't know Hadith, they don't know Fiqh and jurisprudence. So sometimes we imbibe and acquire this knowledge, but then it brings about arrogance and pride with us. And that was the downfall of the Iblis, the Shaitan. The Shaitan was the beloved, remember, of even the Malaika, because they were so astonished and amazed with the amount of knowledge he possessed. But because of that, he refused and defied the command of Allah to make sajda and prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. So Abba was takbar. Abba means this, he defied the command of Allah, and he showed his pride and arrogance. Allah expelled him and kicked him out of Jannah and Paradise. Never will he see Jannah and Paradise again. So you should do some real introspection. Are you not part of the problem than rather being part of the solution? And that is that with this knowledge, now you feel, yeah. So now you want to dictate the terms to your husband. You don't know, man. This is the Sharia. This is how it must be this. So that is sometimes also a problem. I'm just speaking of the options that I am thinking of. That may be the problems. Then third one will be this. That you and your husband, are you really compatible to one another? Why did you say yes to marry him? Why did your parents say yes to marry him? Was it because of deen and piety? Was it because of character and so forth? Or was it because of money? Because the man came and they came with a smart Buick and a Cadillac and a Rolls Royce and Mercedes and BMW, be my wife. And you said, I to bo haru lage. You see, that this one. So sometimes in life, chasing niyat, waisi barakat, that I remember my beloved parents, Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. I used to tell them. I say, Ummi, Mami, me, I want to marry the poorest girl. I don't want these rich girls. They will sit on my head and they'll make all the hordes grow. Me, I don't want all this stuff. We always up, you know, we always up, you know, this type of things here. So, you must learn how to make the decision. That is what Islam teaches us. So I don't know. I gave you 3 problem spots. You understand? Are you living with your mother-in-law? One. Then separate. You're entitled to your own house. Are you being too dominant on your husband and your in-laws because you feel you're an alima and you consider them to be non-entities and laymen? So that is smelling and smacking of pride. You know, our pride and arrogance comes in. Allah forbid. Or third one, you must remember your intention was tainted, that you said, let me marry these people here because they're so wealthy and so rich and so forth. Then the result will be, Adallahullah. Allah, the hadith is clear in Mustad Ahmad. Mm. If his intention was to marry you because you were a very rich family and so forth, then also then his intention was tainted, polluted. So my advice to both of you was sulhu khair. Reconciliation is the best. You can't go and break your marriage after 6 months. Remember that he used you, he deflowered you, you went in as a virgin and all these type of things, and you thought what a wonderful life it will be because you hear about, you went for holiday to Mauritius and Maldives and Durban and Cape Town and so forth. But then when you came to the real life where the emotions came to, so then you found that, you know what, this marriage is not a bed of roses, rather it's a bed of thorns that you're going through. So what happens in that case there? So now you have to get the seniors involved. And that is what Quran is saying. I give you the verse now. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. And if you fear, it is 11th hour now, that the marriage is on the verge of breaking, فَبْأَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Then you appoint the arbitrators from the husband's side, and you appoint the arbitrators from the wife's side, and you get people who are level-headed, let sanity prevail. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 35, and see what Allah says. At this 11th hour, he said, May 2 is taking place. She did this, you saying he did this, his mother said this, and all lot of stories. But when the arbitrators go in, iyurida islaha, if both parties go in with a positive frame of mind, let us make this marriage work. You understand? Yuwaffiqillahu baynahuma, Allah Jalla wala's unseen help will come. So that is my advice, sister, that don't go, don't play the card of breaking the marriage. Say, no, I studied and I know Quran Kareem, Sunnah Mubarakah teaches us, wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. Both of you embrace one another, both of you ask forgiveness, and then you go ahead, look at the present and the future, don't look backwards. Let the history be the learning. Nowadays they speak of the, let's flatten the curve, you know. So the curve, I want to ask them when they flatten in the curve of corruption, you know. So that one, they don't speak about that one. They want to flatten other curves, but the curve of corruption is going upwards. Allah. So anyway, you must remember that. So you and your husband, really serious talk. Now, you all have to ask, you must remember this, that how are you going to change the negative to a positive? And your starting point must be, both of you forgive one another, and then you move forward. But this must be non-negotiable. You must have your separate house if you are living together.
Allahu Akbar, Ustad. I see the sister is crying, the student of Deen. She said, no, Mufti Saab, I'm not part of the problem. Our both sheikhs read the istikhara for us, because we both are connected to the same sheikhs. She says, I didn't read istikhara. My sheikh read. I'm so depressed, Mufti Saab, and we are not compatible because he is mama's boy and is very wealthy. Student of Deen, Ustad. Allahu Akbar.
Yes, so sometimes you must go back to your sheikh and ask him, you know, to what can we do without the sheikh, you know. People, the woman, they send me messages, you want to become your murid and this. I say, I got one murid, one man, one vote. I only got my wife as a murid. The sheikh business is very dangerous nowadays. You must. I don't say all now, people don't go put words again. Remember that. Now you say you and your husband belong to the same sheikh. So why you don't go to the sheikh and tell sheikh, now this is the problem, solve it out, sheikh. You see? See, sister, let me give you another lesson in life. Me, I'm dead against all this. Islam, if you are sick, right? If you are sick, what you do? Yet you go for the medication, you drink that medication, you take the injection and all that. You don't go tell somebody else must take the injection, take the medication. So in Islam, this is unheard of, that the Sahaba radiallahu an, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba say, يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةِ. Open Tirmidhi, open Mishkat Sharif, all that. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us about istikhara, as he taught us how to read the surahs and chapters of the Noble Quran. So always people tell me, make istikhara. I say, no. You must make the istikhara. That is what I'm talking about. Now today, because you belong to this sheikh, so now make istikhara. No, I'm not saying it's not permissible, but I'm saying that's not the sunnah. The sunnah is of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should perform the istikhara. So now at this point here, again I will tell you, sister, so you discuss it with your parents and then make istikhara and see what options you have. Allahumma khir li wa khir li. But still, I'm treating you as my daughter. My advice will be, rather make the home than break the home. And make istikhara yourself. That is the sunnah and nabawiyah. Not we go tell other people, irrespective of how pious they are and what have you. So every sunnah is the best way for us. So to tell sheikh and this is permissible, but not sunnah. Sunnah is you make the istikhara yourself.
Allahu Akbar. 17 minutes to 12. I see everybody wants the podcast of today's The Bliss of Marriage Part 1. We go for an interval, inshallah. When we come back, yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners, stay right there. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
SS Wheels, direct importer, wholesaler and retailer of mag wheels and tires. Buy any mag and tire combo and get a Marcus Sahaba Dakota free. Situated in Benoni, 64 Lake Avenue. Call us on 011-422-4112 or 4114 or 082-300-3870.
Dad, these Frimax chips are so tasty.
Wow, that really takes me back. My dad bought me a Frimax chips every day after school. They were my favorite when I was your age as well. Quality is at the very heart of what we do, and that's why we ensure that every Frimax packet is filled with the beautiful goodness and flavor-packed taste that you've come to expect from us since 1982. Frimax, from generation to generation.
An Umrah deal not to be missed. Travel and Tour World brings you an Umrah package to suit your needs. Tailor-made packages include flights, 5 nights in Mecca, 5 nights in Medina, Saudi visas from just 14,999 rands per person in quad sharing. Call us now on 031-209-9292. That's 031-209-9292. Travel and Tour World, for something special in service.
Quarantine or not, Deliver has your back. Get what you need by the click of a button. With the Deliver on-demand delivery service app, you can send and receive packages where they need to be. We pride ourselves in fast, safe, and reliable deliveries. How does it work? Simple. Step 1, choose delivery options. Step 2, choose location and delivery vehicle. Step 3, enter delivery details. Step 4, secure payment. Step 5, there is no step 5 because it's that easy. You can also track your parcel while it's getting delivered to your desired location. Deliver also offers both a food delivery and point-to-point ride service to further cater for all your transportation needs. Delivery companies, you can also register and manage your fleet and drivers. Download the app on Google Play or the App Store. For more information, visit our website at www.deliver.co.za. That's DELYVR.co.za. Or come visit us at 641 Peter Mokaba Road, Essen, Woodburya. Deliver, DELYVR. Try us today.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
14 minutes to 12, 084-786-3132. Overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Somebody wants to know quickly before I pose the next question, Ustad, how do we get the daily nasiha, Ustad? This is from Swaziland, Ustad.
My dear listeners, wherever you are, Swaziland, South Africa, overseas, remember that you must go to the Play Store. You know, on your smartphone, iPhone, whatever you got, your this Galaxy and whatever, Apple and what have you. So you go to Samsung and what have you. So go to the Play Store and there you will find an app. And the app is called Telegram. So once you go to that, so then you download it, you install it into your phone, and then you link up with us. If you got the link, mashallah. You don't have the link, then contact me 071-888-1184. This morning, how many people sent Telegram? I just sent the link to them, and now I see they are joining, mashallah. So 071-888-1184. And mashallah, Salahu Shahabuddin and his family, Allah reward them, and they are helping us along this journey of telegram. So this is not the telegram in the old days, you know, this is modern day telegram now. So in that way you'll get all the podcasts, all the nasiha, everything. So this morning already I sent out that, you know, the question and answer we had in the morning with Maulana Arafat. Inshallah, when I go back now, 12 o'clock, so my brother Bonface, he'll send the news and then I send it out, and then inshallah Maulana Ahmed Dokrat Hafizullah will send the nasiha. Maybe he sent it already, so we'll send that out. So everything is there, and all what you must also, you will find it there as well, inshallah. So you link up with the Telegram Play Store, first stop. So first step. Second step, that download. Third step, install. Fourth step, get the link, and you want the link from me, 071-888-1184, and inshallah, then you follow, become a member, and you follow us, and inshallah, everything you will find there. Or you go to the Twitter account at AK Hussein, AKHOOSEN. Or you go to the website www.muftiakhoosen.net, and you will find everything there, inshallah. Laziz.
Ameen, 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 tum, ameen. 11 minutes to 12, for sister in Umshlanga, Ma says, my heart goes out for the student of Deen, Mufti Saab. I see Ba from Modbank says, Mufti Saab, our daughters are listening to the bliss of marriage. It's so scary out there. What's happening, Mufti Saab? Are these the signs of Qiyamah? This one says, Mufti Saab, I married 3 years ago. I got one child. My sheikh never told me that the boy had nervous condition. He told me to wait for 6 months before I got married. Now I am back home. Please advise. Must I ask for money for the child? Please help, Ustad.
Yeah, there are three issues. In life, remember, whether it's our religious affairs, our mundane worldly matters, always you buy, you are asking, and every parent is concerned, more so when you got daughters. Today they are 13, then they'll be 15, 18, 19, and then they're going out to the outside world. Ummi, Abi are no more there. So you must remember, there it is a husband and in-laws and so forth. So what happens? So anything you do in life, always remember, see, I give you three kitabs. You might know even one, two of them. Bukhari Sharif, starting. Mishkat Sharif, right in the beginning. And Riyadu Salihin, right in the beginning. So what they did, these are three different scholars, and everyone a master in his field. So Allama Nawawi, Riyadu Salihin, and Bukhari Sharif, and Mishkat Sharif. So they brought Innamal A'malu Bin Niyat, to teach us, the Ummah, whether you want to start your business, whether you want to get married, whether you want to go and, you know, pursue your career, ask yourself, what is your motive, what is your intention? Therefore, in Urdu, we have a beautiful saying, Jaisi niyat, waisi barkat. The niyat, intention you make. What is our intention here? Our intention here at Markaz Sahaba is to promote, advocate the belief and the true Islam of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we will be very vocal against the Shias, the Kuffar, and all of them, because they are the people who are swearing, cursing the Sahaba, and so forth. So, and to educate the Ummah, Muslim and non-Muslim. So that is our primary objective. And we ask Allah to accept it and give us sincerity and so forth. So you need to ask yourself, what is your motive? What is your intention? That is number one. Then number two is this. Now when the crunch time comes, that your daughter, oh, now you're going to get married and so forth. So you must give advices also. It's not just a bed of roses. What that roses, around the roses, this little bit thorns also. So she must expect, you know, certain difficulty, challenges, problems, all these type of things. So that is two. Then explain to them, be honest. You see, I'm going back 40, 50 years now. When I was a very young boy, so I used to hear my mother, my nani ma, daddy ma, because I saw all of them and they stayed in our house also. My maternal grandmother, my paternal grandmother and so forth. And they used to give advice, especially to the daughters and girls and that. You see, you're getting married, so make sure your janaza also comes out from that house. What are they trying to say? Today you're getting married, Betty, you're leaving house, you're going home, so you must stay with your husband, and when death occurs, you leave from that house there. So there's no talk of you coming back, because they had taqwa, piety, they were honest and so forth. So all that, in by and large, has disappeared today. The piety is gone, the honesty is gone. Today we look at material. materialism, we look at consumerism, and so forth and so on. So we are also to blame to a certain extent. Then number three, this whole business of Sheikh, and I'm answering this question here. Now look at this here. I answer the questions as the question is posed. And please, I'm not saying every Sheikh. I am saying some of the Sheikhs. They are not honest to their murid or disciples or their students or whatever you want to call them. And that is wrong. Now let us look at this as a case study. This lady received a proposal. She asked the Sheikh, what you say? The Sheikh knew this guy got a nervous condition, and he told her, wait 6 months and so forth. But no real ilaj or no real treatment, or he did not recover from the problem and so forth. She got married, she got the child, and now she's back home, and that guy's condition maybe deteriorated when we're bad to worse. Obviously, you must charge him. You must tell him that he is the father of the child. He must pay for the child. And if he doesn't pay for the child, then steer him strong too. I'm very, very strict on this issue. All these husbands who don't pay for their children, remember, you must go to court, leave all the ulama and jamiats and all of them. We can't do anything. I can't do, they can't do. We don't have authority. We can only give you consultation and advice, you know, advisory capacity. We can't implement. So therefore, leave the ulama out in this. We don't have that power. You go straight to court. You were married to ABC. As a result of that marriage, this child was born. He or she is ma'soom. So now you, the ex-husband, the father, must pay for that child. And Islamically, it's 100% correct for you to do so. Remember that. He can't be getting away with figurative murder. One side, he divorces you, and one side, he neglects the child also, and then say he sheikh said so, or this one said so. That God now knows no bearing in Islam. Remember that. He is responsible for the expenses of the child. You go doctor, medication, all that he has to pay, that is the father. And remember, therefore, how we always warn you on this program, especially Bliss of Marriage, we tell you, be careful when it comes to the selection of your spouse. So now I'm adding another dimension, because you're asking these questions. Be careful of the selection of your sheikh. Understood? A sheikh must be that person who is going to connect your heart to Allah. Ma'al asaf is shadeed. Today, we need to be honest. I don't take names. I don't say South Africa. I say internationally. Today, ma'al asafil shadid means very, very unfortunate that we need to be honest about this. Today, many sheikhs, not all, but many sheikhs, they don't look at the heart of that person to connect him or her to Allah. They look at the wallet and the purse of that person, how rich this guy is, and how he can enrich himself in the process. So when that intention becomes tainted, polluted, so you must remember, then he will not tell you. So why he did not tell you that this boy got this problem and so forth? Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, al-mustasharu mu'tamanun. Mona Arafat asked me for advice. So example I'm giving. So I must be honest with him. So I asked Mona advice. So he must be honest with me. So when you ask your sheikh, he should be honest with you. Not you try and cover up for that family because they are rich or because they are my family or something. So people tell me, I want to get my son married here, daughter married here. I just tell them without istikhara, if I know, I say, if it's my daughter, I will never give there. If it's my son, I would not propose. Finish, end of the story. Then you make your decision what you want to. You ask me, I gave you the answer. So because what I know about them. So remember that we need to be forthright and we need to be honest in this time. You know, you can't play with people's lives. Now today, two incidents already, you see. So I'm not saying I repeat all the sheikhs, no, but definitely that today we have many sheikhs, not only South Africa, in different parts of the world, who are not really understood giving their murids the real advice they need, rather there's some hidden agenda, ulterior motive, and so forth. Allah protect us.
Allahu Akbar. 4 minutes to 12 o'clock and Ustad is right, and I do stand with your words, Ustad. Somebody says, very, very sad today on the Bliss of Marriage. We want the podcast for this, for our young sons and daughters. Move this up. This is from Zambia. Move this up, please advise. I have two friends who are physically beautiful, have very good akhlaq, and have acquired dini ilm. They are of marriageable age, and whenever they propose, they never receive a positive answer. Then, alhamdulillah, Ustad, one of them got married, but after a few months, marriage, her husband has divorced her. The marriage didn't work from the beginning, but she tried her best to make it work and didn't let anyone know of her troubles. Could sihr be a cause of it? How do we know for sure? And please, Mufti Sahab, share words of encouragement for both of the sisters and parents. Ustad, Allah accept you.
Barakallahu feek. Yes, Allah Ta'ala accept all of us. Yes, it's difficult times we are living in. It's not a hadith, it's a saying in Arabic. Regarding the podcast, my brother Bonface is here, and Tobela, I think, is here somewhere, that he also, maybe he will send me the podcast, or maybe Tobela, or maybe Bonface will send it. But inshallah, within the next few hours, you will get it. If it's not too, half an hour, 1 hour, then you will get it, inshallah. And I'll send it to Mawlana Arafat as well, and Mawlana Arafat will send it out to all of you as well, whoever he's got there on his list. So that's as far as the podcast go. You see, the saying is not a hadith, but rather it is, you must remember, a proverb. Hammul banat ilal mamat. Hammul banat ilal mamat. That when you have daughters, you worry about them till death. Now they're growing up. What will happen to them? Will they get a good husband? Then will the husband treat them well? Will the mother-in-law, father-in-law treat them well? Then when they have their own children, what will happen? So all the time you have that worry and so forth and so on. But we don't look at asbab only, the means. First point we go is musabbibul asbab. We go to Almighty Allah and we beg Allah. So remember, you got worried. Your daughter is 12, 15, 18, and now there are proposals or no proposals coming in. So you don't speak to them first. First you speak to Almighty Allah. Now how are you going to do that? You see, nowadays you wake up 4 o'clock and so forth, tahajjud time, and you cry and you beg Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, my beloved flowers, my daughters, give them good proposals, give them, give us son-in-laws who are God-fearing, who have taqwa, who have piety, who will remain loyal to their spouses and so forth, and give them children, pious children. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this, that now these two daughters, one got married and now Allah forbid she's back home. So what happened, I don't know. But one thing I will tell you, we can't blame every failed marriage on jadu and sihr and so forth. Say, no, people made jadu, people made sihr, people did witchcraft and so forth. So sometimes we use that too much and say that was the cause. Instead of looking for the real causes, now we just push it to jadu. That also is not right in all cases. And for the other daughter who's not married, but you are alima or hafiza and mashallah, good looking, whatever, you must always know Allah is arhamur rahimin. So you read 2 rakat salah daily, you say surah 7 verse 151, wa adkhilna fi rahmatik, oh beloved Allah, include us in your special mercy. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Read rabbana hablana min azwajina, and inshallah, don't look too much at the wealth and so forth. Look at the deen. The person must belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The person must be a person who's got a stable job, is earning his halal, is reading his 5 times prayer. So all these are the things. Then you can look at the wealth. Don't make that priority number one. And that, so that we normally make priority number one. You understand? How much wages you get? That's the first question. So this type of thing. So how the marriage will work like that when we just make everything rotate around the money? So that is a lot of problems. Allah Jalla will make easy for all of you, for all of us, and Allah Ta'ala give everyone unity, harmony, peace, inshallah. Let me run through the programs quickly. 12 o'clock with the news, 12 to 1, inshallah, Brother Alpha Singosi with current affairs. 1 o'clock, inshallah, will be the Adhan. 5 past 1 to half past 1 will be Tafsir. Surah Sajda, chapter number 32, ayat number 10 is our starting point. And then 1:30 to 2, today Talaq. See, you just spoke of Talaq, and today we're discussing Talaq, divorce. And then 2 to 3, Sheikh Zakaria Korea, 3 to half past 3, the repeat of the morning's program, then half past 3, 20 to 4, around that time. Our brother Alameen Templeton, inshallah Al-Aziz, will come in and do the program on finance. Thereafter, Maghrib Adhan, and then the Dua Surahs, and then Maulana Khalid, and then there'll be 6 to 7, 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir, 7:30 to 8, inshallah, Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices, 8 to 10, Maulana Bilal Katrada with the Tech Watch. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next at the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Independent and true to you. This is Markaz Sahaba News.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Yusuf Ali with your news bulletin.